RCR with Paul Brennan.
The last time I talked with Janet Dixon, real estate agent from Auckland, was in June last year, 2024, and that was right after she'd had her court appearance. And now we know that the High Court has ruled on the Te Kakano course. This is the course that the Real Estate Institute has been, well, forcing, let's say, real estate agents to take to maintain their license to work in real estate. Many of you will know now that Janet lost the case. We're talking to Janet on Wednesday. That was yesterday, Tuesday, the 4th, the 5th now. And Janet Dixon is with us on RCR again. Hi, Janet. Great to see you again. Hope you're feeling okay.
Yep, absolutely fine. As a matter of fact, we've got some interesting sort of parts to this decision, which you might like to hear.
We will be fascinated to hear. I remember you describing the court environment last time we talked, and that was quite a while ago now, back in June. You said it was an intimate environment. And yep. I think I asked you, could you read from the body language or just the way people were conducting themselves, how that was sort of going for you when you were there? I wonder if you have any thoughts to add to those impressions you had back then in the light of what's happened now.
Yeah, and I guess it was hard to read at the time. I didn't get any positives, and I think that one of the reasons the judge has taken so long is that she'd made up her mind before she even started. That's my feeling. She didn't even ask some of the questions. You know, in retrospect, why didn't she ask this or that? Why didn't she follow this or that up? Nah. And the months and months and months of waiting, why? You know?
Why does it take so long? How many months now? June? We're about eight months. Okay, the holidays in there, but about eight months down the track.
Yeah, why? On the day would have been good. You know, it's not actually rocket science. But I don't know. I just think that she may well have been afraid of kickbacks. I don't know, career. It's silly to say this sort of thing.
Yeah, but that's irrelevant. If you can't handle that, you don't sign up to be a judge, right?
No, I mean, it's just open and shut. It's not part of the deal. In the Act, it says they look after our relationship with the public and our honesty and integrity, and if we make mistakes, and they govern us in that way. But it says nothing about politics, nothing about what happens if you get a woke CEO, which is what we've got, in the Real Estate Authority, and then out comes all this nonsense. It's just not there. They have no mandate to do that. So why overreach and end of story?
You're talking about a woke boss, the Real Estate Institute, but it seems...
Oh, no, it's not the Institute,
we've heard,
Authority. Yeah, the Real Estate Authority.
Authority, sorry. I beg your pardon. But we've heard in other cases, not related directly to this, but in other cases, that there seems to be a pattern of judicial activism.
Correct.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. She's just letting it rip.
Justice McQueen is who we're talking about.
That's her.
She's not that experienced as I understand it.
No, she was about 18 months in the job, I was told, when she took our case.
What did you argue?
My stance was that the content of the course was completely irrelevant for me because I was brought up among Maori, a huge experience in my life with Maori tikanga and fellowship and family, and so it was irrelevant for me. And secondly, it is utterly irrelevant to our work, which involves honesty, integrity, following the Act, disclosure, contract law. That's our work. It's nothing to do with the Treaty of Waitangi or Māori tikanga, or for me, worshipping the jolly Māori gods. Sorry, that was bottom line. That was it. And that was one of the points that the barrister made, that it was an absolute insult to me and my own, like, conscientious objection.
I take it there are no courses to test you on your knowledge of Christianity or Anglo culture,
Islam,
the norms and...
Or Islam or anything like that. No. This is just it. And, yeah. I mean, the purpose of our license is actually for consumer protection from our misbehavior or, getting stuff wrong.
So doing dodgy deals.
Yep, that's the one. Incompetence. Yeah. So that's the whole reason the REA is there. And they're under justice. And the Minister McKee from Justice, we're her baby, she's saying, we're going to fix this and everything. And I think actually she does mean to. At the moment, she's been a bit bullied by her officers who've,
Sorry, bullied?
Yeah, well, coming back mealy-mouthed and saying, actually, it's not for me. And, please go elsewhere. And we go, no, sorry, this is. And what we need is a change in the law. Thank you very much. I think her heart's in the right place, I think also that the fact that Winston came out so strongly at the beginning, she's
a legal act. Mind, a legal mind.
Exactly. And like she's act, and if she's kind of veering towards changing the law, Winston certainly wants it. And do you know what? I actually think that her decision, which is outraged, the emails have been hot texts, the whole thing from people across the country saying, what the? And the people who've supported us or people I've never even seen or heard from. I think that this loss has actually given us the moral high ground. That's what I think. She zigged when she should have zagged. And it's so obvious that the public want justice here. And what, we've got the law already written for her, for the key. Because while we've been waiting, they've been writing. And I tell you what else is good, and that is that we've now got the Free Speech Union with us. Not only Franks Ogilvie, best street fighter in the legal business, Stephen Franks and Hobson's Pledge, we're in there to get it done.
Did you have any feeling before yesterday as to how it would go?
Personally, I made it known to whoever that I had no faith that she would have the courage to give it to us. No, I wasn't expecting a win.
So you wouldn't have been too disappointed if you'd have been anticipating that. Prepare for the worst and you won't be disappointed.
I know the one. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, I just thought realistically that why would a new judge have that sort of courage and then bring down the wrath of every single Maori activist in the country on her head? Racist and...
Well, it's based on reality, isn't it? Is there any credible argument that says, without knowledge of tikanga in your business, that Maori house buyers or sellers could possibly be disadvantaged compared to anyone else?
Absolutely not. It is.
Isn't that where the rubber hits the road, right there?
It's chattels and section size and rights of way and, sorry, it's all cut and dried. Got to get the council, stuff and whatever, but we get that. I get them for every single buyer before I even meet the owner. I get all that stuff so I can give it to the buyers. They are not disadvantaged at all by our not having intimate knowledge of Māori tikanga. Sorry. And it's the same. Do we have to learn how to treat people who believe in Islam or, whatever? Sorry, this is New Zealand. This is New Zealand land. It's our law, the law for all, and that's what we need.
In terms of the real estate authority, they've come out and said that it justifies their actions as lawful. It sounds like whether something's technically lawful or not, and that's yet to be argued, is the main issue. Again, separated from life experience reality.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And you've taken the hit.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hey, bring it on. I mean, yes, you're right. She has taken the absence of any reference to this sort of woke stuff creeping in. Who knew? That gives us the right, gives the REA, the REA the right to introduce it. It's not there specifically that they can't. And so she says, okay, fine. And yet it's outrageous. It's nothing to do with our work. She's introducing stuff, allowing them to do it, that has nothing to do with their work. She hasn't listened.
Well, I mean, I could make an argument for this. Anyone selling anything on Trade Me should pass a tikanga course.
Yep, that's the one. Correct.
People would throw you out of the room as that's insane.
Yep, exactly. There is no connection. Yeah.
Okay, you've been suspended from operating in your business and you've been there for decades.
I've got, yeah, that's correct. I've got 20 days. The reason that my license hasn't gone already is that because Stephen Franks applied immediately to the High Court to forbid them to do it because we were taking legal procedure. So that's fine. That's now we've lost. So at this point now, a 20-day thing kicks in. I haven't had notice yet today, but I'll get it anytime soon. And that means at the end of the 20 days, I've got to recant or I'm done for 5 years.
5 years.
Five years.
Is a potential career destroyer.
Oh, career.
How could that ever be? Well, there should be no punishment. It shouldn't be an issue. But how can anyone justify that?
No. And yes, the real estate CEO has said, we're fine. It's a stupid thing. It should have been long since taken away. And actually, they are paying a heavy price for not having done that, i.e. this court case wouldn't be happening now. But the thing is that we've been watching and we noticed that, in fact, she gave us a little tip-off in one of her monthly pānui, that little newsletters that come out, that yes, she thought the five-year thing should go and they'll work towards that. This is back in sort of September or October or something, before Christmas.
Well, that could have been decided in a day, couldn't it?
In a day, that's it, yeah. So they were thinking about doing that. But at the same time, they would just like to extend one other part of the act, and it was so vague I didn't really figure out what she was meaning, but it was something to do with having control of us, not only during our working hours. She was going to take out of the act the bit that said they could govern us and hold us accountable during our working hours, right? That's called REAW, when you're under real estate authority work, okay? So she was going to take that little bit out of the law, and we go, I sent this quickly to Stephen Franks and said, this doesn't look quite good, because doesn't that mean that now they can govern what we do and say 24/7, which would retrospectively give them a win in the case? You know, because that would allow them to govern what I believe. And Stephen said, yikes, and went straight to Justice, who removed that at once. So we got a little win behind the scenes without anybody knowing, because you can't do that. You can't.
Yes, but to have that there shows, well, the only word is tyrannical authoritarianism, two words. How could it be anything else?
Oh, correct. Can't do it.
Do we know if these people all know each other? I think that's a fair enough question. Because in a small country like New Zealand, career paths can be influenced by or through groups that you associate with, move with, agree with. Maybe you don't know, but I think that's a fair enough question. Let's look at the history of the relationships of these people.
Yeah, I tell you what I loved, and that was this morning before I was talking to Hosking, I think it was, yeah, it was Mike Hosking, who said, oh, we just had Seymour on. And he said, members of the Real Estate Authority Board, watch out, we're coming for you if you don't fix this. So I thought that was quite nice.
Well, he's probably emboldened by some of Trump's moves. It does seem that there is more confidence to speak out now that, you know, the big swing in you-know-what is in full view and cutting through the crap, let's say. So that may be an effect of that.
To be fair, though, that way back in March of 2023, Seymour picked up this little thing that the Real Estate Authority had already launched. And I said, oh, warning bells, warning bells. So good on him. He's been watching. But Winston was who also stood up and said, hey, count me in.
What have you heard back from colleagues in the industry? What is the talk there? What are they saying to you? What are you hearing?
Okay, I haven't had a single negative through the text and whatever. Not one, and a lot of anger and outrage that they didn't believe that our governing body would actually end up, A, pursuing me to court. We appealed. We took them. But, I mean, why didn't they say, oh, okay, we don't need to go to court, but we'll fix this. But they didn't. They've gone right to the wire, and they're furious with the REA for doing that. They're ashamed as real estate salespeople to have that to cope with. And they're just so on the side of what they see as right and justice. And, yeah. So that every single one has come through like that. Not one. Maybe the people who just, you know, just haven't bothered to...
You mentioned that 20-day pause. What is the, maybe it's a bit too early for you to say or to even know, what is the legal strategy ahead? It's a high court ruling that presumably can be appealed.
Yeah, we can appeal. So there's meetings over this next week, just, you know, planning. So obviously, they've been thinking about it all along, but now here it is. So lots of work going on, exactly what is the right thing to do. But the main thing is to change the jolly law.
What is the part of the law that allows the real estate authority to impose? And I mean, I could make something up. I could say, unless you know about pink elephants that fly in the sky, I'm afraid you can't do real estate. Now that sounds insane, but it sounds like I could go there if I wanted to try. What gives them that power specifically, do you know?
It says in the Act, and I wish I could think of the words, I need it in front of me, but it does prescribe their jurisdiction over us, and it says what we are doing cannot bring the industry into disrepute, but the whole thing is framed around our actual daily work. There's no... absolutely no sense that it can go beyond that. It's only to do with running open homes, writing up contracts, dealing with buyers and sellers, you know, honesty in all dealings, not concealing anything, not falsifying documents. That is their jurisdiction, not a single whiff of anything else. So I can't think of the exact wording. I don't know.
So it's an overreach completely.
Oh, we are huge, huge. Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess you never saw yourself as, I won't use the word martyr because you're not a martyr, but being the touchstone for an issue that, because it's a bigger issue than even your situation, isn't it?
Well, no, it's national. Paul, it's national, and that's the goal.
And it's not just real estate. If we get into this way of thinking, people's freedom in their jobs and their career choices are going to be dictated to. And that's never happened before, beyond the obvious health and safety and being a law-abiding citizen in the workplace.
Yep. So the plan is we will need to change the law as far as real estate is concerned, and then that becomes the precedent for all the doctors, nurses, you know, whatever, every single apprentice, you name it, across the board. That is the precedent, and then we do the rest.
Are you going to survive economically through this if you're not making the sales and earning the money? You may or may not want to answer that, but it's an obvious question.
Yeah. It's difficult, and we hope it doesn't go along on too long. And yeah.
Wow, eh?
Paul, it's just wonderful of you to take an interest. I'm grateful.
Well, I don't think we can help but take an interest, because we could find ourselves in this situation if this is a precedent. Any industry governing body could impose ridiculous, illogical instructions or orders or whatever they are on anyone.
Yep, and that's exactly what we've got now. This loss has exactly created that precedent. So look out. Unless we fix it.
All right.
You're totally correct. Well done.
Well, we might catch up again in maybe a month or so, or just after that, to see how that went with the 20-day period, and maybe get an update from you on what the next moves might be.
Yep. So what Hobson's Pledge and the Free Speech Union and Stephen Franks and his team cook up. Yep, you're right.
I know Stephen. He's a very experienced lawyer. Like you say, he's a street fighter. And I'm just wondering, I haven't talked with him, but I'm just wondering what his reaction was, because he's probably seen it all in the legal and political world.
Three consecutive terms as an ACT MP.
So I'm curious, what was his reaction, if you could? Was he like couldn't believe it, flabbergasted? Or, and I'm no prophet of the future, but when we talked last June, I had a feeling that it was in the balance. It wasn't a slam dunk that you'd win.
Oh, no. We had no feeling of slam dunk at all. And the barrister, likewise, that her sensing the mood of the court. She said the most optimistic view would be 50-50, but she wasn't. So
this is a sensitive.
It's what? A woman thing, like that.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah. Well, of course, I'm ashamed I'm sorry. I'm going to call it a lack of courage. Yeah. We have no right to have no courage. What? I'm ashamed of it.
Janet, it's been great to catch up with you. It's a fascinating case, and obviously not over yet. And you may go down in history as drawing a line in the sand that you had no idea you were going to be doing, probably only a year or two back. So
that's right.
Yeah. So all strength to you. Thanks for coming on and telling us about the latest part of the experience. We'll catch up again soon. All the best.
Thanks very much, Paul. Bye.